led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
They're cleaning up the streets after some violent overnight protests that injure at least a dozen cops in Charlotte, North Carolina. With what sparked it, here's Jay Corwin.
It all started yesterday afternoon when a black cop shot and killed a black man who they say had a gun at an apartment complex. Witnesses say there was no gun.
A number of police cruisers also damaged, and protesters blocked a stretch of Interstate 85 for a while. Dozens of protesters also broke into a nearby Walmart before running out when police and SWAT officers arrived. After a terrorist bombing in Midtown Manhattan, reports of suspicious packages soar, as we hear from Ethan Harp.
The average number of calls to the NYPD about suspicious packages more than doubled in the 48 hours after the 23rd Street attack. More than 400 reports between Saturday night and Monday afternoon.
This is USA Radio News.
QL1, this is Control. Ground crew is secure. Over.
Copy that, Control. Rocket's powering up. Over.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
Negative, Control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly and seamlessly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage approval process in minutes.
Copy that, QL1. That is fast, like rocket fast. Do you think that's why they named it Rocket Mortgage? Over.
Affirmative, Control. That's probably why they named it Rocket Mortgage. It also works on any internet-ready device, so you can get a Rocket Mortgage at any time or place you choose.
Roger that, QL1. So technically speaking, you could get a Rocket Mortgage at rocket speed from inside an actual rocket?
Please just press the button, Control. Over.
Copy that, QL1.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Donald Trump taking another shot at what he's called Hillary Clinton's lack of stamina. The Republican presidential nominee tweeting, Hillary Clinton is taking the day off again. She obviously needs a rest. Sleep well, Hillary. See you at the debate. End quote from Donald Trump's tweet. Clinton campaign manager Robbie Mook saying the Democratic nominee is feeling great and is still working hard.
You know, she's rested up. She's back on the road. No. We're happy to be doing those avails every day. Donald Trump's not doing that. We're feeling really good.
However, Clinton was off the campaign trail again yesterday after taking several days off early last week because of her bout with pneumonia. Clinton and Trump have their first debate next Monday. The leader of the pharmaceutical company that makes the emergency allergy treatment EpiPen will testify before Congress today about recent very high price increases for that product. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Some top officials and some reporters are seeing the damage a bomb caused in Manhattan over the weekend. Scott Pringle reports.
City officials showed Jay Johnson the damage from the bomb as they stood right where it went off Saturday night. Now, the Secretary of Homeland Security told reporters that public awareness is critical to our Homeland Security efforts.
It's important to stress again, if you see something, say something. That's more than a slogan. Public vigilance and public awareness can make a difference.
John Miller, who's in charge of the city's counterterrorism department, was here as well. And when asked if there will be any adjustments made, he says there's nothing we would be doing differently right now that we weren't doing before. On West 23rd Street, Scott Pringle, New York.
Wisconsin authorities are looking for a man who stole a snake from a pet shop by shoving it down his pants. The non-venomous rat snake costs more than $100. Lego My Ego, no problem. Nearly 10,000 cases of Ego Nutrition Grain whole wheat waffles are being voluntarily recalled because they may be contaminated with the bacteria Listeria. Dr. Stephen Gordon of the Cleveland Clinic.
In terms of actual cases, it's the probably on the lower side of incidence in the United States. Estimates may be less than 2,000 cases a year. However, it has the highest, what we'd say, fatality or hospitalization rate.
You're listening to USA Radio News, and I'm Rod William Stoll.
And good morning, and welcome to a new edition live of Modern Design. I'm very happy to have in studio my guest co-host today, Jane DeHaven, who is a Hunterdon County resident, is going to help us tackle today's topic, which is coastal decorating. So I'm sure a lot of you said, okay, it's after Labor Day, what are we talking about coastal decorating for? That's just the point. Coastal decorating is about a look, a natural look using blues and browns, and we're going to tackle it today and show you that you could do it at any time of year and in any location. But let's start by taking a look at what today's weather is going to be and for the rest of the week. Alrighty. Currently, the National Weather Service is telling me that there's fair skies and it's 72 degrees. Today is going to be partly sunny with a high of 85. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with a high of 54. On Thursday, it's going to be a beautiful sunny day with a high of 84 degrees, much more like summer than fall. On Thursday night, it will be mostly clear with a low of 56. On Friday, it's going to be mostly sunny again with a high of 84 degrees. Jane, these sound like beach days. Maybe we should find our way.
Sounds good.
Yes. On Friday night, it's going to be partly cloudy with a low of 61. On Saturday, again, mostly sunny with a high of 75. Saturday night, partly cloudy, then a low of 48 degrees. And finally, on Sunday, it's going to be a beautiful sunny day with a high of 67, so a little cooler towards the weekend, but still pretty nice weather. I really like September, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's probably one of my favorite times of the year.
Absolutely. The water is warm, and it's still beautiful out. Although, weren't you, when you were a kid and September came, weren't you one of those kids, like I know I was, that had that sweater on the first day back to school, like on September 2nd, and then it was like 90 degrees in the classroom?
Exactly. A pleated plaid shirt.
I can see that, actually. My name is Richard Scuderi. Our show is called Modern Design. We're almost 2 years on the air now. And as I say, in studio with me is Jane DeHaven, who's been a guest on Modern Design before. And today's topic happens to be coastal decorating. And I'm working with a client right now in Hunterdon County who loves blues, shades of blues. And of course, blues are very popular. They've always been, but in particular now, blues are popular. I think maybe in a little bit of a different way. I see lots of geometric patterns with draperies, with bedding, and so on. But in general, that blue and white look has really come back, both in tradition and contemporary, and I think it's quite attractive. And with that, people are adding elements that I call coastal, and that is doing things maybe like a beautiful silver bowl or glass bowl full of shells, or things that sort of have a natural look to them, like sisal or wicker and so on. And that's a look I really like, and I don't think it should be limited to if you have a shore house, I think, or maybe even a lake house. I think it should be, if it's something that you like, incorporate it. What are your views on that?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, when I think of coastal, I think of calm. Water, you think of calm.
Exactly.
Blues are exactly what you pull in mm-hmm. when you're thinking of calm.
Exactly. And, you know, there is something to that. Patty Dewey, who's been a frequent guest on our show, she's with Seabrook Wall Coverings. She often, almost quarterly, comes and does the trends. And she was saying that we're in a time of sort of unrest, our world, our country. There's a lot of insecurity about safety and so on. And a lot of the design reflects the times. So people are looking for calming elements. And what's more calming than a beach or water, something that's very natural, blues and browns, earth colors, and just something that's soothing or calming, exactly. So last night, well into the evening, I came up with 100 ideas for coastal decorating, which is probably more than is going to happen in our show today, but I'm going to start talking about them, and I'll go through the points, and then I've given you some material there to look at as well. And tell me what you think, and also in your own decorating, have you come up with things? I know you have some blue in your house as well, just some ideas and things that you can do to have a coastal influence if you don't want to do a whole room. Maybe things that you can create that have a natural look using earth colors and some blues and just bring some warmth into your home. The first one I have on my list, 100 ideas for coastal decorating, is the colors of blues and browns, earth and sky. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Right.
I mean, one of my favorite colors at the moment is Benjamin Moore's Woodlawn Blue.
Right.
It's just so calming.
Right.
That with bamboo shades,
right,
and crisp sailcloth.
Right.
Draperies, I can't think of anything better.
And there's really no place you could do that. You could do that in a ranch. You could do that in a center hall colonial. You could do that in a farmhouse. It's just a relaxed, very clean look, don't you think?
Absolutely.
And I don't want people to feel afraid to incorporate some coastal elements in their house, no matter where they live. If they're in the mountains, if you know, wherever they live, if they're in a city environment and they like that, I think design should reflect your personal taste and what makes you feel happy and calm.
Oh, I couldn't agree more with right. that.
As far as blues are concerned, I'm seeing lots of different shades of blues in my decorating business. I'm a big fan of navy, and Benjamin Moore's Van Dusen blue is a go-to blue for me. I like to do them. I like to do Van Dusen blue in dining rooms in particular. I would caution that when you're using a saturated color like that, you want to ground it with lots of white molding, either at least a chair rail and some crown molding. But often I like to split the walls in half and do some sort of either a beadboard, a board and batten type of a molding, or a raised panel molding in a dining room, and then have the blue speak to itself. If you were to surround the room with a dark navy, it could be very dark for a space.
Exactly.
Another space that I like to use that Van Dusen blue is the headboard wall of a bedroom. I'm a big fan of this new look, which is the upholstered headboard. And when you have a neutral upholstered headboard, having a wonderful accent color behind it is a wonderful and rich look. So a Van Dusen blue, a sort of stone color headboard with some nail heads on it, is a great, a wonderful look. And then you can incorporate some artwork behind the bed with some individual prints and bring some other colors into the space. And often with navy blue, there are very good accompanying colors that work well with it. One of the colors, of course, is white, which is the standard color that you can do with blue. I also like to use oranges. Blue and orange, to me, is a beautiful combination. And I know, Jane, you've been in my store here in Flemington. I have a lot of blue and orange. It's just something that I like together. I think it's very rich and warm and can work in a lot of different scenes. Also, apple green, Granny Smith apple green and blue are colors that I love together. They're very fresh looking. They're very now, but they just look good and they're very calming. Blue and yellow, I think, is one of the classic coastal combinations, and I think that it's just nice. It could be contemporary. It could be traditional. It's very clean. I think blue and yellow is a color combination that you like a lot.
Absolutely.
Sure. So navy blue is pretty good. It's universal. You can do a lot with it. But I'm seeing lots of other shades of blue out now, too. The teals have reemerged from the 80s, and they're back again, sort of reinvented, whereas in the 1980s, we had teal and mauve. That was the color combination. Now you're seeing teal with, like, chocolate brown and earth colors, and they come together, colors of, like, tanned leather and then that blue look very nice. Because Woodlawn Blue has sort of a tealish blue-green kind of a color to it.
It is. It does have a bitter green.
Right. Exactly. And it's a warm and calming color, even though it is a blue. Now, talking about browns, brown doesn't necessarily have to mean chocolate brown, although I do a lot of chocolate brown in decorating in combination with silver and earth tones. And that's also very much of, to me, of coastal decorating, and it speaks to earth. Tans, sand colors, beiges, neutrals on neutrals are also very coastal. And I think they're very appropriate in a lot of different environments. All right, we're going to go on to our second of 100. I think we're going to have a week to do this series, is grass paper, grass cloth. And grass cloth was always in style. It was sort of a classic, but I think it's just smoking hot right now that people want to do grass cloth. Your thoughts on that?
I like it. I have always liked the burlap look or the texture that you get
right.
with a grass cloth.
Right, right. I often say on Modern Design that one of the best places to do wallpaper in your space is a powder room. And the reason I say that is for practical applications. Whether you be a young child or an adult, when you wash your hands, any human being that washes their hands will inevitably sort of flick their fingertips, even if they're conscious of not to do it. It's just how it works with the flow of the water. And then what you do is you get water stains on your painted surface, your sheetrock. So just from a layer of protection, having a wall covering, and a wall covering specifically for bathrooms, is a great option for a powder room. And if you're not a very wallpaper person, just having it in that one small space is nice to offset all those rooms of sheetrock. Even if they're different colors, it's nice to add another element. And I think wallpaper brings something to the surface that nothing else does. What do you think about wallpaper? Are you a wallpaper person or not a wallpaper person? And certainly your opinion being different than mine is always a good thing. So,
Our kitchen was a beautiful striped with beadboard for a long time.
Right.
Loved the wallpaper.
Right.
And then changed it out a little bit later when we redid the kitchen in early 2001.
Right.
But I love wallpaper. I think that there are places for everything, and the room itself will speak to you as to what makes the most sense.
I always feel that, as I say, when you have a large home, or not even that many large homes, when you have five rooms in succession, if every one of those is a painted wall, it's kind of boring. So if you add a little wallpaper, it used to be you would add maybe a little bit of faux paint, but we're not really seeing that on walls anymore, maybe on pieces of furniture or on cabinets. But in general, if you have painted walls painted out in rich colors or neutral colors, you want to have something else. You want to have some dimension and texture, and nothing does that better than wallpaper, I think. All right, we're going to go to our first set of commercial messages, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on 100 in Chamber Radio.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on 100 in Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi, and I have in studio live with me Jane DeHaven, who is going to go through some of these ideas we have for coastal decorating. One of the things that you might want to keep in mind is that I do have a shop right here in town at 1 U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey, with lots of blue and white and lots of coastal pieces. So if you're looking to pick up something, we have some new things that are coming in. Please feel free to take a look. My phone number is 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. So our topic today happens to be coastal decorating. And coastal decorating is not just limited to your lake house or maybe a vacation home. It's just sort of a look. It's a nice, rich American, very red, white, and blue, very casual, very pretty look. And I think the trend, don't you think, Jane, is that decorating has become much more casual?
I think so.
I often say eventually it's going to be a bunch of us sitting in our underwear eating takeout Chinese food, because things just get more and more and more and more casual, don't you think? But that being said, you don't want to be antiquated. You want to keep up with the times. And I think a good way to go if you're looking to redecorate your home and you're not specifically modern is to go coastal, because it does combine the elements of traditionalism but also with the new modern, which is more relaxed. So I think it's a good transitional step to do coastal decorating. And I think that's why I've referred to it so much in the last about 5 or 6 years. So the next thing I want to talk about, as we covered grass paper and sort of the blues and browns, is coral. And I don't know if you've seen this a lot, and maybe you haven't. I notice a lot in stores and in decorating. When I watch a movie, sometimes I don't see the movie, I see the sets because I'm seeing how things are decorated. And I see a lot of coral, the physical coral itself, in decorating. Have you seen that around?
Definitely. I mean, you can't walk into a store almost without seeing either coral as a painting, coral
right.
on a pillow,
right.
Lots of fabric,
right.
Draperies.
Exactly. Again, it's a natural element. It could be done in a sea of colors. In my store, I have a series of three red prints. They're sort of cream in the background with a red frame and the red prints, and they're coral. And the thing about coral is it's kind of good looking. Don't you think? It's very architectural. It's a pretty element because it's interesting to look at. So coral-themed, as you said, coral-themed fabric. Coral theme, maybe like botanical pictures with different series of coral is nice, or coral itself. Obviously, it would be faux coral. The thing that I saw about a week ago that was really pretty, it was a condo, and the chandelier of the little round dining table, there was a glass dining table with four chairs, and the chairs were sort of a seagrass all the way, and with legs that were exposed. And then the chandelier looked like coral. It was a white chandelier, and it actually emulated coral. It was really pretty, and it was kind of a nice look. It was subtle. It wasn't, like, overdone, and you can't do too much of that. If you do an element, you do one or two things, and I think that's kind of a great look. And I don't think that's really going to go out of style. I think you could have done that at any time, and that would work, don't you?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I think when you stick to things that are nature, like whether it be grasses or coral or shells, they're always going to be there.
Exactly.
So one of the decorators, and I'm going to hand this over to you, I have some stuff that Jane and I are passing for, is design team called Barclay Butera, and they do a lot of coastal things. This one happens to be some bedding that's done kind of coastal, and you can see layering of blue and white and some bedding that's done in that. Traditional elements, that happens to be a four-poster bed. Here's another one, and here's something that I haven't brought in yet, is also doing red. So as much as blue and white are a coastal look, a sort of a nice red is also very popular. So I'm going to pass this along, where he pairs different shades of blue with some red.
I love the pops of red.
Yeah. What do you think about red for coastal decorating?
I think you can't go wrong with red, white, and blue.
Right.
I mean, you're bringing in all of the elements. Rich just passed me a Barclay Butera ad, and it's got a beautiful red cabinet. I mean, and it just pops
right.
against the blue and white wallpaper.
Which almost in a way can be sort of blue and white can be kind of neutral. So I think a pop is as the grays are in, and we're doing pops of yellow, pops of citrus green, pops of orange. The same thing with the blue and the white, which can be quite beautiful but sort of neutral. A pop of red, I think, can be a very good thing.
Well, the other, you've got the red and white houndstooth check next to the nautical knot pillow.
Right.
I mean, again, just great.
Isn't it beautiful? It makes you feel good when you look at something like that. And I always like to, I think a house should be very eclectic. So I like in that particular photo. Now, we're going to, in November, I found out in November our program is going to have a video camera, so I'll be able to show you next time you come in studio, I'm sure, show you some of these elements, but we'll just have to speak of them today until we're set in our new studios. But that being said, different elements mixed together with coastal can work well. Like you said, like houndstooth, which you wouldn't think classically would be sort of coastal or nautical. But you can mix those elements, and I think the message is still there, don't you?
I do, too.
There's one thing to be eclectic, and then it fits. And then there's another thing where you don't have a sort of an overall design. But I think in that works. The next thing I want to talk about is decorating with paddle oars. And I know you had a good suggestion, something that I never thought about, of what to do with paddle oars. Now, when I say paddle oars, I mean the oars if you were rowing a boat. So paddle oars. So before we were on the air, you were talking about an idea that I thought was kind of neat.
I have always wanted to use oars as a curtain rod.
Right.
And I have just not actually been able to find any paddle oars.
I know. Where would you go? I guess a sporting supply store or something. But I wonder if the scale of them would be too big.
Yeah, I do tend to think that real oars may be too big. I
mean, you'd have to sort of make something up.
Exactly.
But that's a sort of a great look. I would imagine you'd have to have them come out of the wall, and then maybe I'm thinking about how you would hang a drape so that you could see the oar. Do you know what I mean? Whether it be a tab top or
that's
you would
exactly
have to do it.
No,
no. I guess maybe you would have to do it on or do it on rings, maybe.
I guess you could always do rings as well.
They'd have to be big rings, though.
And that, but you'd want the oar part of the oar to show.
Right.
With stripes, if you can do that.
Yeah. Like a sailcloth, maybe?
Exactly, a
like
sailcloth.
Like a blue and white, or even like a neutral and white. That sounds good. I really want to try that.
We'll have to manufacture our own oars.
Exactly. Also, I like two oars crossed. Maybe if you have a two-story room, and you have the room to do it, and you have a void of space, an inexpensive thing to put up would be a pair of crossed oars, which would be quite beautiful in a space, maybe a bar area. Maybe you go into your attic space and you want to do something with a pool table or something that's open like a sitting area. Crossed oars, I think, in a very transitional or traditional setting would be kind of nice.
Exactly.
Don't you? And they could be painted out of color. You can do sort of a washed red or the natural color, I think, could be kind of nice. If they're a little weathered, I think that could be nice. Or maybe sort of a grayish finish to them could be kind of nice as well. The next thing I want to talk about is lanterns, all sorts of lanterns. Everywhere I go, when I order for the store, I see lanterns, beautiful lanterns with candles in them. Now they have the battery-operated candles that are so good now, they really look like candles. So I think lanterns, to me, are something that's very coastal-looking, don't you?
I think that, too.
One of the things that I do in my own house, and I think this is kind of a nice tip if when you're entertaining, is I have a lantern just at my entrance. And when I have a company coming, I like to light a candle of whatever the season is. If it's around St. Patrick's Day, I'll do like a citrus green candle. If it's Easter, I'll do maybe yellow or purple, whatever the season is. So having a lantern at your back door, because you really can't attend a candle, but if it's encased in a lantern, you have a safety issue there that it's covered by that. That's a nice thing to do. But lanterns, maybe on a sideboard, very pretty thing to do if you have some battery-operated ones. When a candle is encased in glass, it's hard to tell that it's not an actual candle. You know, or a real candle would be nice as well. How do you feel about lanterns?
I think lanterns are great, but I absolutely agree with you that real candles can be a safety issue.
Exactly. Especially if something is outside and you're inside and so on. So be very careful with that. The next element on my list, number six, was baskets, beautiful baskets that display elements that are coastal. And baskets are awfully beautiful themselves almost. So arranging them not only can be for a practical standpoint, but also aesthetically a good standpoint. The thing that I don't particularly like is I see a lot of pieces of furniture that have baskets for storage. And the problem with baskets is there's no shelving in them. So I don't particularly like baskets for storage because I think you have to find a way to organize your things. So if everything's dumped in a deep basket, you're in trouble. One of the things that I actually did this week, coincidentally, is under my shelves in my master bathroom, as I have all my shaving stuff and everything. So I decided in an inexpensive way, I bought large Ziploc bags. And then in that beautiful basket that I have, that's natural elements that goes underneath my sink where everything is together and it's attractive looking, is that everything's in a large Ziploc bag. So that, number one, the basket doesn't get ruined, but number two, you can easily access things if you're using baskets. Have you ever used baskets in your decorating or for organization?
Well, kind of a funny story. When I was a kid, my mom got a giant wicker trunk, which we used as a toy chest.
Right.
And I've had that with me throughout my life.
Uh-huh.
Have used it as a coffee table.
Oh, it's big. It must be big.
It is. It's very big.
Sounds pretty.
So, but I have to admit that it is easy to just start shoving things in it,
yeah,
and then you lose all of your organization.
Exactly. Okay, we're about to come up to our news, and we will be back shortly after the news break with more of Modern Design here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The New York, New Jersey terrorist bombing suspect, Ahmad Khan Rahami, now being hit with federal criminal charges. Here's Sarah Lee Kessler.
Rahami is now charged with using a weapon of mass destruction and bombing public places. That's in addition to those attempted murder charges following a shootout with Linden police. The federal charges also raised the number of people hurt in the Chelsea bombing from 29 to 31. The federal complaint also says the 28-year-old Elizabeth Mann bought bomb-making materials on eBay and says his handwritten journal reveals praise for the Fort Hood killer and for Osama bin Laden.
Violent protests in the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina winding down after a black police officer shoots and kills a black man yesterday, a man who they say had a gun. This is USA Radio News.
In this box, we have a lidocaine pain patch. And in this box, we have what looks to be another pain patch, Blue Emu's Lidocare. Lidocare offers 4% lidocaine. It's odor-free, ultra-flexible, and it's the only non-water-based lidocaine patch. Yes, I said only. So if you'd prefer this to this, find us at Walgreens, CVS, or Amazon.
Stay healthy from head to wallet with Wellness Plus with Plenty at Rite Aid. You can earn Plenty points on hundreds of specially marked products each week on your favorite brands. Every 100 Plenty points equals a dollar off your next purchase. Sign up today in store or online at RiteAid.com. And that's just one of the four ways to save. Now through September 24th, spend $50 a week on participating products at Rite Aid and earn 2,000 Plenty points worth $20 in savings. Visit RiteAid.com/RakenPoints for details.
The head of the pharmaceutical company that makes the EpiPen will be testifying before Congress today. Mylan CEO Heather Bresch can expect to be grilled by the House Oversight Committee over price increases for that emergency allergy treatment. The price has gone from about $100 in 2007 to over $600 today. Yesterday, a big bank executive was grilled by some lawmakers on Capitol Hill. As we hear from Tom Roberts.
Senator Elizabeth Warren is calling on Wells Fargo CEO John Stumpf to step down over the recent banking scandal.
You should resign. You should give back the money that you took while this scam was going on, and you should be criminally investigated.
During a Senate Banking Committee hearing, the Massachusetts Democrat accused Stumpf of gutless leadership. Stumpf has been in the hot seat after apologizing for the bank's failure to prevent the opening of millions of unauthorized customer accounts. Shares in Wells Fargo plunged from their daytime high when Warren began her questioning.
This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Here's some good news for drivers in the Southeast and the Mid-Atlantic. A leak in a major pipeline serving those parts of the nation has now been repaired, and gasoline should be flowing again soon. Here's Matt Cook with details.
Engineers at Colonial Pipeline have been working on a bypass for the leaking area since last week. The 500-foot-long section has now been completed, and they say next they'll pressure test it and install it. If all goes well, they hope to have gasoline flowing back through the line sometime tomorrow. Company officials say it will still take several days after that to get supplies back up to normal, and they expect that supply disruptions will continue on occasion until then, but there does appear to be light at the end of the tunnel. Matt Cook, Atlanta.
NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick says he's receiving death threats now for not standing during the national anthem before NFL games. The 49er quarterback saying he's received the threats through a couple of different avenues. He's been sitting or kneeling during the national anthem, saying he's protesting racial oppression and police brutality in the U.S. And some researchers say they have discovered that wearing an activity tracker could end up slowing down your weight loss plan. A new study finding that adults on diets that wore activity trackers for 18 months ended up losing fewer pounds than those who didn't wear a tracker. Scientists at the University of Pittsburgh did the study involving about 500 adults who had said they wanted to lose weight. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And we are back live in studio. This is Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I have to comment on that last news story about having a tracker. One of my clients happens to be a couple. He's a doctor, she's a nurse, and she runs the practice. And I was complaining in the winter months when I was working with them that I wanted to lose weight. And I talk about getting a Fitbit. And I don't know if everybody out there knows this, but you can get one if you like. There's nothing against them. But your phone, if you have an iPhone, it already is keeping track of your steps. Did you realize that?
No, I didn't.
If you have an iPhone, you go to your iPhone screen. You go to your screen where all the icons are, and you'll see that there's an icon there with a little heart on it. And that heart icon is called health. And when you go to the health icon, it is actually already calculating if you have your phone with you. Now, I've started walking in. I started about 2 weeks ago saying I'm going to try to get in better shape. So I started walking every day, and I keep my phone with me because I also use my phone as the timer for the hour that I walk. So the phone automatically keeps track of your steps, and they want you to do 10,000 steps a day. So if you do have a phone out there, you already have something that's built in. Take advantage of it. And I disagree with the story and the fact that I think if you're conscious of your steps, you're going to take more steps. All right, little diversion there. So we're back to our topic today, and that is coastal decorating, bringing in blue and browns, earth elements, coral, shells, sea glass, all beautiful things that are very great in decorating and can be incorporated in any environment in any type of home. Our last topic was using coral. And the next thing I want to talk about is some faux painting. And I find that faux painting really has almost disappeared, if you will. Not so much with furniture, because furniture, the new trend in furniture is to be very weathered. So I'm doing that with a lot of cabinets. I'm doing that with a lot of pieces of furniture where we're distressing it. We're putting an undercolor. So I am seeing it again, but re-envisioned in furniture pieces as opposed to on the wall. But one or two finishes still stick, and people are asking for. And one is called a strié. And a strié is basically where you sort of drag a brush up and down. So I'm going to pass this along to you, Jane, of what a strié would look like. This almost looks like it's a striped strié. It's a very hard technique to do, but they take a color. In this case, it's sort of a mid-tone blue, not quite a navy, but a mid-tone blue, and they take a wide brush and they go from top to bottom, and it adds texture. That's a great look in a beach environment or something that brings an element where you can. I like backdrops where you could add artwork to that and embellish on that. So you could see that with pictures of shells or coral or something along those lines, with some nice frames, maybe with a burled wood or some nice frames in sort of hammered copper or silver or something like that. And I think that would work well with the space.
Exactly.
What's your thought on faux painting, truthfully?
I guess I just haven't really thought much about it before now. I really do like the strié. It does mm-hmm. have an awful lot of texture, mm-hmm. but also without being too busy. Like you said,
exactly.
You could put an element of art
right
on top of it, and it wouldn't...
It's a backdrop.
Yes, exactly.
So a strié, if someone is looking to do something in a functional bathroom, as I say earlier in the broadcast, I love... wallpaper in powder rooms. I also love it maybe in dining rooms as well above a chair rail. But I love powder rooms for wallpaper for the practical standpoint. That's exactly the opposite when you have functional bathrooms. So when people say to me, I just don't want to paint out my master bath a color, something like a strié where you have very straight lines from top to bottom allows some texture where you're not using wallpaper, because wallpaper and steam don't really go very well together. So something like a strié, I think, is tasteful. I mean, I think we all think about when faux painting first came out and everybody had that sort of bubbly, ragged look with the air bubbles, and it was just quite terrible. And of course, over time, it got better, and there was Venetian plaster and this, that, and the other thing. And then it sort of went out of fashion a little bit. But something like a strié, I think that could be a nice look and go well with the coastal kind of a look. All right, the next thing that I have on our list is lighthouses. Lighthouses as a theme, picture of lighthouses, replicas of lighthouses. Hokey or kind of nice?
Oh, I, I actually like them. I mean, I think that you can't have too many lighthouses.
Right.
But I think a coastal flair, it's a great thing to have.
I had a series of artwork, which I've since sold, and it was all in black and white and sort of had a coastal theme. And three of them were different lighthouses, but they were photographed in black and white and then beautifully framed. And it was a nice look. They were actually framed in black. So it wasn't necessarily so beachy, if you will, but it had a really nice look to it. I think I have one left that's sort of a sailboat. That's a big scale piece, which is a great look as well. You could have a sailboat in a very contemporary environment or a very traditional environment. It's also in black and white, and it can really it's a sharp look no matter what you do. Lots of white in decorating, white on white. What do you think? I had shown you before the last break some rooms that had a lot of white in it. Yay or nay?
White at least does give you the option to switch out all kinds of, you know, pillows and artwork and what have you without starting from square one. So I like it. I like white slip covers especially.
Right. Cotton duck would be kind of nice. Mm-hmm. I do like lots of whites, and I will say that, but from day one, 2 years ago when I started, I love color. If you get Maven Hill Designs, you're going to get some beautiful colors, hopefully. And I've had this in my career, which is almost 20 years now doing this, that people will come back to me and say, we went further with you because you painted one room this most beautiful color, and we got it. So what I would say about white is to use it very cautiously. If you're working on a beach house or a place that has a lot of molding and wainscoting and so on, I love that to be Benjamin Moore's Super White. I like a crisp white semi-gloss on the trim and lots of molding in white. If you want to take a specific room where you do a board and batten so it's almost all the way up, or you have a room that you just have wainscoting to the ceiling, that's wonderful. I don't like white sheetrock, personally. If it's incorporated in molding, the more the better. I think throughout your house, all the ceilings should be white. I like very crisp, flat white ceilings. I like semi-gloss white trim, all in the super white. But as far as white sheetrock, I never think it does anything for the house. I don't particularly also, speaking of white, I don't particularly like white houses anymore. When I was growing up, I always said I'm going to have a white house with black shutters. But as I got into the industry, what happens with a lot of colonials in particular, as well as other style homes that have trim on them, if your trim is white and your garage doors are white and your house is white, there's no depth to it. I'm working on a house this afternoon in Flemington that has a beautiful Georgian facade, and it's all brick. Then the builder went around the house and did white siding and white garage doors. And the woman had complained to me, the client that I'm working with had complained to me, that when she drives up to her house, she doesn't really notice the beautiful brick anymore. She drives, what do we see the most? Where you pull in your car, and she sees three white garage doors, white everything, a white door. So we're actually painting the garage doors black today, which I think would scare a lot of people. But it needed that. The front door is black. And the all the other doors in the house, the front door is black. The shutters are black. So when you carry an element around, it doesn't have to be a lot of it. Most of it will still be white. It's two stories. Everything else is white. But a pop of color when you have white, as you had said, white and blue, white and gray, is a great look for coastal. Lots of white, but then a pop of color works very well. Okay, the next one on our list was decorating using seashells. What do you think?
I think that's great. I mean, just imagine a basket full of seashells that you've collected over, you know, all of the trips that you've made to the shore throughout your life.
Exactly.
What could be better?
You know, the thing I like about shells is they're really universal to any decorating style. I've done a country French house, and I did a bedroom, and we did a seascape, and it looks very well. I did a contemporary house, and the wreath at the front door was made all of interesting-looking shells and coral. It was very modern-looking, and it was great on the front door. You can do different elements. It doesn't have to be your shore house, but you can do it different styles using shells. I like to, if I'm decorating with shells, and you have very large shells, and maybe that could be a centerpiece. For the most part, though, shells in a grouping are the prettiest, and I like to showcase them in vessels. One of the things I really like are footed vessel jars, something that's footed and then has glass and has a lid on it. So if you get three of those, you can get them at a craft store, you can get them at Home Goods, you can get them at a lot of different places. And then take the shells that you have and sort of group them. Don't just randomly throw them. Group them into different categories and then put them in those temple jars. And they're great as a decoration on a mantle, on a sideboard, on shelves. They're a really terrific look together. And you don't have to limit displaying sea life, if you will, just to shells. You also can do starfish. I think starfish are beautiful. I remember I did one that was, there were a series of three, and one was shells, one was different starfish, and one was sea sponges, actual sea sponges. Have you ever seen the real sea sponge? They're beautiful, and they're architecturally very interesting. So displaying those in glass vessels are terrific. Also, maybe you want to do something different. You have a casual, you have a round dining table with very casual chairs. Get a beautiful round bowl, something that's probably footed, something that's glass, or maybe something that's silver, and fill it with shells. What a great look. Not expensive, and really looks nice in a space, and it adds some architecture. The next thing on my list is blue glass. I love cobalt blue glass. You know, I don't really know. Maybe you know, Jane, the origin of blue glass. Did it start from industry? I don't know how the blue glass got its start.
You know what? That's a good question. I really don't know. I mean, you've heard of cobalt. In fact, I just absolutely love cobalt blue and pitchers. Mm. I have a collection of many of them.
It's so funny because the color itself is striking, but when you add the element of glass and there's just a little bit of sheen to it, it becomes very powerful. I have, believe it or not, I have a collection of old, I think they were sort of, they must have been medicine jars, and small, and they're all blue. And every time I can get another one with blue glass, I collect them. So in a space that doesn't have a lot of color, that cobalt blue, just a collection of just glass jars, really carries, and it has so much weight, especially in a white or a light-colored environment. I think cobalt blue glass is just absolutely beautiful, whether it be dishes, whether you have maybe a collection of dishes, and then you incorporate a couple of maybe blue glass dishes in there just to have a pop of color, whether it's pitchers like you say you have in your home, old inkwells, things of that nature, whether you scatter them or put them in a collection, I think they're just dynamite, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Now, another color that I like to work with is more of the traditional sea glass color, and I think that sea glass is more like that wood lawn blue you're talking mm-hmm. about, that sort of blue-green color. And sea glass is something that I think is quite striking and can be used in a lot of different ways. I like hurricanes. I like big glass vessels that I put a pillar candle in. And I'm a big fan of pot fillers because seasonally, if you have a dining table or a sideboard, you can change the look of the space by still keeping that white or cream pillar candle, but changing the pot filler. So a nice one to do maybe for the summer season or just because it's a color that you like is to take sea glasses, bits of sea glass, and put them around the hurricane. So it's a pot filler. And anything that has glass always has iridescence and sheen to it, and it's very striking looking. Sea glass, the blue-green glass, is just wonderful. I have in my store, I have a collection of bowls that are sort of blue-green, and putting sea glass with that is sort of a nice element. Always, if you incorporate things you like in glass, you can put them anywhere. They resist dust that way, and they're sort of a nice look. Have you ever used sea glass in a project?
No, I actually haven't, but you've given me some good ideas.
Okay, well, that sounds good. We're going to our next set of commercials, which will be very brief, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on 100 in Chamber Radio.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
And we are back live in studio. My guest host today is Jane DeHaven, and we're talking about coastal decorating. We have the strangest studio here. For most of the broadcast, it's been ridiculously hot, and somehow it's cold now. But I'll take the cold over hot any day. I don't know about you. What's cold or hot? Which is better? For a guy, I think cold. I could be as cold as could be. I just can't take being hot.
I agree with you on that.
Really? You'd rather be cold than hot? Oh, that's a good thing. All right. So before the commercial break, we were talking about elements that you can incorporate, coastal elements in your decorating, whether that's your main theme or not, to bring some natural elements in, something that's calming and very pretty and up to date. So the next thing I want to talk about is something I showed you before break, which is plantation shutters. Done in white, very simple, unadorned, no top treatment, no fabric, just simple white plantation shutters, or natural, sort of a natural looking shutter, I think are very coastal looking, don't you think?
I agree. I think that's a great idea and also a very energy efficient one. I mean, it's great for keeping the sun out
exactly.
when you need it in the heat of the summer.
A practical application. And also, I'm working on a project right now in Lebanon where there's plantation shutters on the first floor and I'm doing a second floor powder room, but the powder room is at direct center of the house. So we're doing a plantation shutter just on the bottom and we're going to allow some attractive fabric to the top. So that you don't have to do it alone. You can add some softness with fabric if you like. But I think for the coastal look, having it just be the clean lines of the wood and the white or in sort of a natural tone are very nice. Jane, I've given you a couple of different rooms that I thought were very coastal. Maybe you can describe for our listeners some of the things you're seeing, what they can incorporate as coastal elements. On the back are also some yellows and blues and some different things.
Well, I love, it looks like this is a navy blue sort of burlap seagrass on the window,
right.
which I hadn't thought of before.
Right.
Prior to this, when you think of, burlap or sailcloth, it's white.
Right.
But this is fabulous. Mm. And I love the coverlet.
Mm.
They've got some sails right in front as well.
Right.
Sort of blue and white, you can't go wrong.
Oh, I think very much so. Okay, the next one on our list is reclaimed wood. And reclaimed wood is very popular right now, specifically for contemporary design. I don't think you can go through a store without seeing something that has reclaimed wood. One of the guests on our show, he was here a while ago. His name is Joe Amino. He's going to be a guest again on Modern Design. And his company makes wood for walls. And I'm doing a project right now in Springfield. Three boys and their mom as a gift to them gave them that they could do their room over. They're teenagers now, which is young teenagers. And the one boy, the oldest boy, wanted something very interesting. He's very into hockey. So on his headboard wall, we're going to do a weathered wood that sort of looks like gray tones all the way across as the look of the headboard, if you will, with no headboard. And then across his bed on top, we're going to have two hockey sticks that go across each other like that. And the look of the room is going to be that sort of weathered wood on the walls. In addition to that, I'm seeing it on stools. I'm seeing it on pieces of furniture, on coffee tables. A lot of weathered wood around in magazines and ads and so on, don't you think?
Absolutely.
And I think that really lends itself to to that coastal style. The next thing is sort of gray wood, which I just talked about again. In this case, it was sort of, you're down the shore in your environment, and you see over time that has that beautiful patina, that graying, which I find really wonderful to look at, whether it be cedar shingles or an Adirondack chair. That grayed look is also very nice and lends itself to that look. As we talked about before, navy fabrics. The look that comes to mind when I think of is that sort of classic, maybe cotton duck or nice fabric that's navy blue with white piping. Don't you think you could have done that?
White.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
It's fabulous. It's a great color. If you're scared of having a white environment, go dark. Do a navy sofa and then white piping, and that's terrific. And you can put that with a lot of different colors, and that will work well. I think in some of the pictures I had given you, if you flip them over, they had some great pillows done in yellow, and yellow and blue are also a natural synergy. Orange is always great. And also incorporating sort of that what I call a pajama stripe. You see that one pillow there? That's a pajama stripe with different shades of blue. And you can do different shades blue on blue. You have a dark blue and then sort of a gray blue and a light blue. That also works very well together. The next one is pitted and weathered pieces of furniture, which I think is very coastal. Whether it be that way or we sort of distress them. Thinking about coming into a cottage and you have sort of a chest and it's very weathered looking and sort of maybe a blue-green paint with some great knobs on it. That seems to me very coastal looking, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Would you ever distress a piece of furniture if it wasn't distressed already? I'm not sure that you would.
I don't know. Good question.
Sort of hard to do, but I do see people taking more and more, especially with the millennials, but people taking maybe an old dresser that they had that was kind of messed up and not maybe top quality and painting that piece of furniture and sort of distressing it a little bit and then turning it into something else. You have a small dining room and you take an old chest of drawers that you have and you distress it with some beautiful blue-green paint and so on, and then it becomes a sideboard. So you can reinvent things with paint, and I think that's also very coastal. It's sort of casual living, using what you have and making it look very, very nice and sort of a shabby chic kind of a way. Here's another one that I see in a lot of the things that I have here and some of the things I've shown you, and that's the constant of striped rugs.
Absolutely.
There's a company called Dash and Albert. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I have used them a lot in the past. They have beautiful rugs that sort of have a coastal look to them. I've used them as stair runners, and I've used them for different rugs, and they're a very casual kind of a look. But the look of a striped rug to me is very coastal, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
And that classic look with either blue and white or red and white, and I think it's very sharp looking. And as a stair runner, you know, we don't always have to do a very formal stair runner. Something that looks like that, that's sort of a softer element on a stair, you know, no bars or anything like that, but just having that tacked down on a staircase that's white on the risers and then the treads are stained, that's sort of a nice coastal look, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Okay. And the next one on my list here for adding coastal decorating is whitewashing your brick. And this is something that's not very easy to do. I did a job this year in January in Annandale, and the couple had a 1970s colonial, and they wanted to have sort of a restful look. So we took the walls from a mid-tone yellow to a blue-gray I like called November Skies. It's a very pretty blue-gray color. We made all the trim in the house from linen white to super white. And then I had a huge fireplace. It was a 1970s. You know when the fireplaces used to be like the whole wall? It was one of those. And they didn't have the budget to take it down and do stone and so on. So I said, you know what? I'm going to get this big elephant out of the room. I used my local decorative artist who's been a guest of the show. Her name is Adrian. And we whitewashed it. We practiced on the opposite side of the fireplace, which faces the garage. And we found that we sort of stippled it with white. You have to be very careful when you're working with brick because brick is porous and you can make mistakes. So it's always good to practice first. But I see people making a mistake where they take white paint with water and then they just sort of put it on. That's going to be a terrible look. That's going to look like you didn't wipe off grout. But what you want to do is sort of take white paint that's been thinned and then stipple it on so it looks like aged brick. Did you ever go to a place that had a courtyard, maybe up in Lambertville or a different part of the country, and you see beautiful white aged brick? That's a great look for coastal decorating. It's very pretty. Anything that has a white wash, a patina, a gray wash, an age has a nice coastal look to it. And I'm a big fan of it. I've seen sometimes you go in an older neighborhood and you'll see an old house, and that's happened naturally, and it has beautiful shutters, but the brick has that sort of white look to it.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice, right? And sometimes in Princeton, you've seen that in places like that, old places, and that's a great look. And you can create that look. If you move into a house and it has that sort of 1950s ugly dark red brown black brick, you can lighten that up by doing a wash or a stippling and make the brick look lighter and aged. And that's another great look, I think, to incorporate some of the coastal decorating. Wainscoting, we talked about earlier, adding wainscoting in any room. Maybe you have a craft room or a small room where we take the wainscoting from floor to ceiling, and then we bring a pop of color in. Maybe we put some art on the walls that has a pop of navy blue or a pop of color. Wicker is a very popular thing to do, wicker furniture. I know you said you have a wicker piece that uses a coffee table.
Absolutely.
Any other wicker in your house?
I love wicker all together. I mean, mm-hmm. and not just white wicker. I think you're seeing more wicker in
natural
color.
Natural. Jane, believe it or not, we've come to the end of our hour. I think we could talk about this for 3 weeks, right? We probably will after we go off the air.
What number did you get to? You had put together a list of 100.
I am very sad, but we were on number 25. So I think this is going to be continued, and at some point we'll continue to do this. The whole look is just beautiful. Coastal was always in style. It's particularly in style right now. And if you're one of those people, you know, our show is a little bit hunter-centric, but it's at the web, so people listen all over the world. If you have a house that's very traditional and you're trying to make it a little bit more up-to-date, but you're not on board with all the new modernism and the gray and the starkness, try asking some coastal influences. They are more up-to-date. There are lots of blues and whites and grays and tones that are more in style and cool, but they're sort of transitional, and they're a great way to make your home up-to-date. Jane, I thank you for being my guest.
Oh, thank you for having
me. I've learned as much from you as you have from me today. We said a wonderful exchange, and I thought you had some great ideas. And I will see you all here in studio next Wednesday. We have a great guest coming, and more on social media on that. Thanks for tuning, everybody, and see you next week. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The New York, New Jersey terrorist bombing suspect, Ahmad Khan Rahami, now being hit with federal criminal charges. Here's Sarah Lee Kessler.
Rahami is now charged with using a weapon of mass destruction and bombing public places. That's in addition to those attempted murder charges following a shootout with Linden police. The federal charges also raised the number of people hurt in the Chelsea bombing from 29 to 31. The federal complaint also says the 28-year-old Elizabeth Mann bought bomb-making materials on eBay and says his handwritten journal reveals praise for the Fort Hood killer and for Osama bin Laden.
Violent protest in the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina, winding down after a black police officer shoots and kills a black man yesterday, a man who they say had a gun. This is USA.